Hey guys, this is Dustin Herring, one of the men's pastors at Gateway Church, and we want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We are so excited to be in a series titled Spiritual Fitness with Gateway's lead men's pastor, Todd McIntyre. Let's listen in as he gives us strategies on how to fight to get into the presence of God rather than just fighting your sin. Hey guys, welcome back to the Men's Summit podcast, and I'm so excited. My name is Todd McIntyre. I'm the men's pastor at Gateway Church, and I'm excited to bring to you the second part of our spiritual fitness series called Routines. You know, many of us heard last week's podcast. If you didn't, we talked about what does it take to get fit spiritually is really the same thing we have to do to get fit physically. We talked about there was three things that I learned from running a marathon that I had to do if I was going to really get to be able to run 26.2 miles. And the three things I had to realize is I had to be able to go through a little bit of pain. I had to develop routines in my life. And I needed a coach or a partner to help me train to get there faster. And so I realized if I'm not willing to go through these three things, I'm never going to accomplish the things that God wants me to accomplish in my life, not only physically, but spiritually. You know, what's interesting, when we talk about routines, we talk about getting close to God, we always say that's important, but many of us don't really understand the value of what it takes to get spiritually fit and what it does in our lives because we think other things have more value. And God says this in James 4:8, he says, if you'll come close to me, I'll come close to you. In other words, there's going to have to be a step we're all going to have to take to get close to God. It's not going to come natural. It's not going to be easy. As men, we have to recognize that when we became Christians, we made a decision that we were going to give our lives to Christ and we'd be willing to come close to him so that he would come close to us. It's interesting that he says we have to take the first step. I think it's interesting because I really believe as men, as strong masculine men, we have to be willing to use our will, to use our choice to say, I'm going after God. That God desires, there's something that God loves that when a man says, I'm stepping towards God, that he responds to that man. And here's the reason why this is so important, guys. Because we're not trying to teach you how to fight against sin. You got to hear this. We're not trying to teach you how to fight against sin. We're trying to teach you how to fight to get in the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17, I mentioned this last week a couple times, but it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In other words, if you want to get free from your sin, get in the presence of God. Because when you're in the presence of God, sin has to flee. When you're in the presence of God, you won't sin. You can't sin. But when you're not in the presence of God, it's easy to slip into sin. And guys, that can happen at a moment's notice. We could be driving down the street and the spirit of lust comes on us, or we feel like lusting over a woman, or someone's asking us a question and we know we don't want to tell them the full truth. And so immediately we could walk out of the presence of God and not do what God tells us. And at that moment, that's when we need to make a decision. I'm going to get in the presence of God. I got to fight for it because everything in this world is trying to pull you away from being in the presence of God. Today, I want to read to you a text from Hebrews 12, and it really kind of sets a tone of the importance of routines and why we need to develop routines in our lives. And it starts off in Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let me tell you, when scripture starts off with therefore, it's trying to get you to understand what you just read. Now, therefore, read this. And therefore, before in Hebrews 11, it talked about the great men of faith, the men and women who risked their lives, who stood out by faith, who were willing to take risk for God. And because they were willing to take risk for God, God saw them as men of faith, saw them as righteous, and saw them enough to put them in the Bible and to share their life story with us. And he says, if you'll remember what they did, because if they could do it, they're no different than you. You can do it too. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, you have everything you need to live a godly life. All you got to do is tap into the presence of God. And so then it goes on to say, so let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The way we do this is we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Hebrews says, don't grow weary and lose heart. Guys, that's really what we're talking about today is routines. When you're in the middle of routines, a lot of us, we start routines, but we grow weary and lose heart. And so what Hebrews is telling us, we need to run our race with perseverance. Perseverance. Look at the end of this verse. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. This is verse 11. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So therefore, again, you just read that. Now this is what you got to do. Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. In other words, guys, there's something you're going to have to do. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to run our race with perseverance. And as you understand routines, as you understand what it takes to get in routines and to keep routines, you're going to have to understand the power of the word called perseverance. Hebrews 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And then it says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Guys, that's what I desire for my life, to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And the only way I'm going to get that, the Bible says, is I got to be willing to persevere. Persevere in what? Persevere into trials. Persevere in my routines. Persevere for fighting to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. Because when my eyes get off Jesus, like Peter walking on the water, when he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink because the storm around him was too great. But when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on water. But we've got to persevere in that trial. So I want to talk about today perseverance. I want to talk about having perseverance under trial. I want to talk about having perseverance in the middle of your routine, about not quitting, staying steadfast and faithful. You know, the dictionary defines perseverance as just that, an implication of steadfastness, patience, persistence, to attend constantly, continue unswervingly, adhere firmly, and hold fast to. I believe that perseverance is the ability for you to have peace with God, no matter what your circumstances or trials are coming against your life. I believe when you really understand perseverance, that when you're in the middle of whatever you're going through and you're training yourself and you're going through it, you recognize that I've got peace because I know I can make it to the end, that I'm not going to be stuck here. But a lot of times when we give up, when we lose heart and we grow weary, it's because we don't think we can continue to keep on pressing on. Guys, perseverance isn't at the beginning of the race, and it's not at the end of the race. Perseverance that has to finish its work in your life so you be mature and complete, not lacking anything, happens in the middle of the race. It happens in the middle of your 12 reps. You're in rep 5. You got to get to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's in that middle piece. It's not the first rep. It's not the last. It's in the middle. And when you're in the middle, that's when every circumstance in your life is going to come at you and say, is it really working? Is what you're doing really working? I can tell you in my own workouts, when I'm training myself physically, there's something in me going, does this really matter? Is this pain that I'm enduring really helping me? Is it really going to help me get to where I want to go? And here's what perseverance says. Don't listen to that voice. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can get to where you want to go. I can remember back in 2002, 2003, when right before I started spiritual fitness in my life, I got myself in a pickle. I got myself in $63,000 in credit card debt. Now you got to know, for a guy at that time making about $40,000 a year, that was like being $1 million in credit card debt. I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. I didn't know what I was going to do to cause my circumstances to turn around where I could pay off this debt. I didn't want to go bankrupt. I didn't know what to do. I was struggling. And to say the least, I was crying out to God going, God, help me. I know what it's like when you're in the middle of a trial and you don't feel like God is there. And you don't know the answers to your circumstances, that it is just demoralizing. It is discouraging. It is just hard to walk through. And I'm in the middle of this, and I'm crying out to God and asking Him to help me, and asking to help me persevere. And I was losing faith. But it was during that time, at the end of 2003, is when I met Pastor Mike. And in February 2004, I started my spiritual fitness routine. I started getting up early. I started going to bed early. I started fasting once a week, fasting the first 3 days of the month, fasting the first 7 days of the year. I started praying with my wife. I started reading the word like I've never read it before. I just started going after it. And I created times in my day that I would do this, routines that I would do this. And it was those routines that carried me through this trial. It kept my eyes on Jesus. It kept me in the presence of God. And remember, guys, we're not fighting to get out of sin. We're fighting to be in the presence of God. And when we're in the presence of God, we're going to find freedom. And I would love to tell you that in 2 months' time, or 3 months' time, or even 5 months' time, all my problems went away. But it was 2 years later. It was 2 years of persevering. It was 2 years of going after God. It was 2 years of creating routines in my life that I recognized that kept me sane in the middle of my trial. That in 2 years' time, God gave me an idea that helped me instantly get out of credit card debt. I mean, it was instant. And when it happened, I knew why it happened. It was because I kept my eyes on Jesus and I didn't lose hope. What if I didn't do that? What decisions would I have made that might have got me further in debt, or might have got me further down a hole? Or maybe I would have made dumb decisions in my own life, which I've done before because I didn't keep my eyes on Jesus. I didn't have freedom. And I'm going to tell you something. God was not concerned with $63,000. That didn't concern God. You know what concerned God? Is that my heart was not pointed towards Him. That I was looking to every other solution to fix my problems, and I wasn't looking to Him. And He didn't want me just to go after Him just so I could get my problems to be free, or free of my problems. He wanted me to go after Him because He wanted my heart. He wanted me to learn that if I fix my eyes on Him, I can make it through every trial. And if Jesus is the guy I'm looking at, and I see that He was willing to die on the cross for me, He was willing to go to the grave for my sins, then I can keep pressing on, and I can keep pressing on, and I can keep pressing on. And after those 2 years was over, I didn't quit. In fact, I can tell you, 14 years later to this day, 14 years later, almost 15, in February it'll be 15 years, I've kept on keeping on. I still do my routines. I still get up early. I still fast once a week. I still fast the first 3 days of the month. I still fast the first 7 days of the year. I still pray with my wife. I still go after scripture like I've never gone after it. I'm trying to continue that perseverance, because here's what I know now. That every problem I'm going to have from here until I die, if I don't have Jesus, I'm going to fail. That's what it means to be a Christian, guys. That's what it means to go after this. That's what it means to get spiritually fit. I meet so many Christians that are discouraged and they don't know how to get out of it. And they got their eyes on their problems and not on Jesus. And I can fall into that. So simple. I can easily go into that even right now. I have to remind myself, I got to stay in the presence of God. So I want to talk to you about, how do we maintain perseverance? Because really, this is the key, guys. If you can't persevere, if you can't stay the course, if you can't continue on with your routines, you're going to find yourself in a situation you don't want to be in, and you're not going to know where to turn. You're going to struggle. You're not going to be ready for the fight that you have right at your hands. And so it's really simple. I'm going to give you 2 points, really simple points. How do we maintain perseverance under trial? Number one, yeah, I already said it, fight to stay in the presence of God. I remember when I was starting to get up early and going to bed early and just trying to get up earlier than what I was used to, because I was a night guy, and now I'm going to get up early, and it was hard to get up early. I was talking to my friend Chris, who was kind of doing the same thing with me. We were both trying to get spiritually fit at the same time. And he called me, and I remember I was working out that night. I was on a bench press in my garage. And he called me and he said, "Hey, I got really angry with God today." And I had a discussion with him. And I'm like, "Why'd you get angry with God?" He goes, "I'm mad at God because He makes it so hard for me to get up in the morning. I hit snooze and snooze and snooze and snooze, and I just struggle getting up in the morning. I just can't get up." And he said, I asked God, "Why did you make it so hard for me to get up?" And this is what God told Chris that day. The first time of the day that you get to fight your flesh is when you wake up. It's the first battle you have to face, that you have to recognize that your flesh cannot be in control of you. Whether it's eating, whether it's sex, whether it's food, it cannot be in control of you. That God has to be in control, not your flesh. And so God told him that the first time of your day you get to fight that thing is when you wake up. And I remember when he said that to me. I remember thinking, that's my problem too. And then I realized, my flesh has controlled me my whole life. My flesh has tried to kill me. My flesh has tried to destroy me. It's tried to destroy my marriage. It's tried to destroy my family. It's tried to destroy my business. It's causing me to go in debt. It's causing me to struggle with lust. It's causing me to struggle in so many areas of my life. And I'm so sick of this thing controlling me. And I realized at that moment that the only way I'm going to get out of this is not to be by being stronger in my willpower. The only way I can get out of this is I gotta get in the presence of God. And again, I can't stress this enough. I'm not fighting my sin. My sin cannot tolerate the presence of God. My flesh cannot resist the presence of God. It is not strong enough. When I'm in the presence of God, my flesh has to say no, and God gets to say yes. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Listen to what Paul says about Jesus. I want to tell you the power and the strength of the guy who died on the cross for you. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, therefore, God elevated Jesus to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Guys, the devil cannot stand in the presence of God. The devil cannot stand. The enemy cannot come against you when you're bowing your knee to Jesus and you're staying in the presence of God. But if you don't understand that this is a fight, if you don't get it, I promise you, you'll start some routines, but you'll quit. You'll start some routines and you'll get a new job and your schedule will change. You'll start some routines and you'll get married. You'll start some routines and you'll get tired. You'll start your routines and your boss will make you stay late at work one night. You'll start your routines and all of a sudden, sleep will become more important to you. Going to work will become more important to you. All the other things in this world are going to become more important to you. And you won't do the things that God's called you to do. You won't stay in your routines. You'll lose heart. You'll grow weary. You'll lose heart. And you'll find yourself wishing you did. That happens to everybody. It happens to all of us. And so we got to decide right now that no matter what changes happen in our lives, sleep's not going to control us. Food's not going to control us. Sex isn't going to control us. Nothing's going to control us except the presence of God. Second thing, and it's really not that complicated. The way we maintain perseverance under trials is not only fight for the presence of God, but we have to do it the same way Jesus did it. The same way Jesus persevered. Listen, you have to realize Jesus was a man and God made him go through trials just like he makes us go through trials. We are not exempt from going through trials because we became a Christian. So Jesus had to go through trials. And I'm going to tell you, if Jesus knows how to do it, we better learn from him because he is God. And he trained us by living out this life just like he wants us to live out this life. And there was a time when the devil came and tempted Jesus. You know the story. He got baptized. He went up to the mountain. He started fasting for 40 days. And this is what the Bible says. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. He said, in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when that had ended, he was hungry. At that moment, food was telling him, you need to eat. He was hungry. Food was trying to control him. And all of a sudden, the devil started tempting him. He says, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus could have. He was able to command a stone to become bread and he could have ate it. But instead of letting food control him, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You know what's interesting? Jesus didn't scream at the devil. He just quoted a scripture, and it was the power and strength of that scripture that gave him the ability to persevere under trial. The devil came to him a second time, taking him to the highest mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him again, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Again, notice Jesus uses scripture to defeat the trial, to help him to persevere under trial. Then it says, "It came to him a third time, took him to Jerusalem, set him at the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered again a third time. He said, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" And then the Bible says that when the temptation had ended, the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. What is he saying? That Jesus, being a man, was tempted by the devil, and the way Jesus fought the devil was through the promises of God in the Word of God. That was through those promises he was able to persevere under an extreme trial. Some of you guys are going through trials that are extreme. You've been going through lust. You've been going through financial situations. You've been going through job situations. You've been going through marriage situations, and you think there's no hope. And I'm telling you right now, there's hope for you. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep holding on to the promises of God. I want to show you, even Jesus taught Peter, one of the disciples, this same principle. And we see it in 2 Peter. You know, Peter was the guy who walked on water. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. Peter was the guy who really led the church through Acts. And he wrote in 2 Peter, in chapter 1, in verse 3 through 6, I'm going to read to you. He wrote how Jesus taught him to grow in his faith, how Jesus taught him to persevere into trial, how Jesus taught him that no matter what circumstance you go through, if you follow this guideline, you'll be able to succeed and make it to the end. And it says in verse 3, it says, "By his divine power, God's given us everything we need to live a godly life." He said, "We received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." So in other words, the moment you got saved, the moment you gave your heart to Jesus, God gave you every tool you need to persevere under any trial you're going through. And he said that when you got saved, everything was given to you. But here's the question I have. Why are we still struggling with trials? Why are we still struggling with perseverance? Because when we got saved, just because we had the tool doesn't mean we know how to receive the tool. We haven't used the tool to help us to persevere. So it goes on to say, "And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises." Again, remember, Jesus used promises from the word to overcome his temptation. And Peter's telling us the same way Jesus used it, we use precious promises. It says, "These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." In other words, we have desires in our heart that aren't godly. We have sin in our hearts that needs to be worked out. And the only way we're going to get through it and not give in to those sins is through the promises of God. And then in verse 5, listen to this. It says, "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises." There's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to receive the promises of God. You're going to have to use the promises of God to get you through your situation. And this is what happens when you do. It says it supplements your faith with a generous provision of more excellence, with more excellence knowledge, with knowledge self-control, self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness. In other words, there's going to be times in our Christian faith when we're going to need moral excellence because we're going to want to do something immorally. And the only way to stay morally excellent is to stand on the promises of God. There's going to be times when we're going to need self-control because we're going to be struggling with self-control. And we're going to need to stand on the promises of God to have self-control. There's going to be times we're going to need patient endurance and godliness. There's going to be times when we're going to need brotherly affection because our brothers hurt our feelings and they hurt us and we don't want to forgive them. If we stand on the promises of God, we're going to be able to persevere under those trials. Because I can tell you, when I was struggling at those early years, when I was so far in debt, it was debilitating. There was a time during that time when I would go out and run. I would go into the desert. I'd cry out to God, "God, help me. help me. And I wouldn't hear anything from God. I'd cry out, God, help me. Do whatever it takes to get me out of this circumstance. And I wouldn't hear anything from God. And it wasn't until I decided that I'm going to stand on His promises, that I'm going to make an effort to stand on His promises, that things started to change. And what Debbie and I did is we grabbed 5 chapters in the Bible that we literally read over our family every single day. It was Proverbs 33. It was Proverbs 34. It was Proverbs 37. It was Isaiah 54. It was Isaiah 55. We have read these chapters over our family for years. But at that time, we read them every single day for almost 9 months. We just read them and read them and read them. We practically memorized these chapters. And what it was doing, it was giving me the ability to persevere when my financial situation was in dire straits. It was giving me the ability to persevere when I wanted to quit. It was giving me the ability to persevere to quit the things that I was doing and not press into the things that God had for me. It was during those times that God was strengthening my spiritual muscles, getting me spiritually fit, because He knew that if I could make it through this trial and persevere with His word and in His presence, that no matter what trial I went to for the rest of my life, I would know where to turn. Guys, some of you are going through really big trials right now. Some of you guys have marriages that are falling apart. You have kids that are estranged. You've got financial situations, job situations. You've got some real huge issues, and you need to get spiritually fit. You need to get in the presence of God. You need to fight for it, and you need to find some scriptures that you can pray over your family over and over. When you feel like struggling, you stay in the presence of God. Guys, I do this every day still. When I'm driving on the street and I see I have this spirit of lust come on me, I feel lust coming on me, I wanna look to the right or to the left to see what girls are in the cars next to me or at the gym, and I see a girl pass by, I start quoting scripture. I start talking to God about, I give you that lust, and Lord, I ask you to fill me with your purity, fill me with your love right now. I start quoting Colossians 3 about clothing me with your righteousness. When there's times when I'm tired and I'm struggling and I don't know if I can make it through the day, I start quoting, even in the gym. I did this morning in the gym. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God, I thank you that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. I can press on. I can continue to go on. And I can tell you, when I'm quoting the scripture, it's almost like a supernatural power comes over me and I'm able to persevere when I'm struggling in the middle of that trial. Guys, I'm telling you, there's no shortcuts. I'm telling you, this is the way that Jesus persevered under trial, and it's the same way you're going to have to persevere under trial. You've got to fight to get in His presence. You've got to develop routines that are your routines that are getting you close to God. And when you do that, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to look back and you go, I remember that trial and we got through it. I remember that trial and we got through it. I remember that trial and we got through it. And we did not bow our knee to our flesh. We bowed our knee to Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. And guys, you're going to make it through and you're going to be so glad you did. Or the opposite's true. You're going to quit. You're going to give up. And you're going to wake up 10 years from now going, why didn't I press into God? Why did I let myself get here? Why did I make these choices? Why did I do these things? And you're going to have a regret and you're going to wish that you had. Guys, today is the first day to start your spiritual fitness routine. Get in the Word of God. Start fasting. Start praying. Start quoting scripture. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And I'm telling you, you'll be able to walk on water just like Peter did, and you won't fall if you stay in God's presence. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these men. I thank you for the men that are listening to this podcast right now that are going through trials and struggles. And Lord, I pray today they will determine in their heart that they're going to fight to get in your presence. When they find their minds drifting away from you, Lord, they're going to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And they're going to get their minds back on you. They're going to focus back on you. They're going to pray. They're going to read the word. They're going to worship. They're going to do whatever it takes to stay away from the things of this world and get close to you. And Lord, I thank you that they are going to finish the race, not for second place, but for first place, as Paul tells us. We're going to run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. God, we're going to fix our eyes on you, and we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're going to be men who learn how to persevere, developing the routines that you've given us, and fight the fight that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Be sure to check out gatewaypeople.com for all things happening at our amazing church. And if you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.